This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All this time, Porter, everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
Cast episode
17.
I'm with Kelly, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Pete, considering this is a fill-in episode. Originally a double-sized episode featuring a review of the Fritz Von Erich retirement show from Texas Stadium was going to drop today. Unfortunately, Johnny got the recording days mixed up, and due to our busy schedules, we were unable to find time to record the show. Fortunately, we recorded a review of episode 27 last week, to have in the can, to drop as the first new episode of 2018. Well, consider yourselves lucky, fans, as you are now getting that episode several weeks early. Hopefully the narrative isn't totally screwed up. Also, apologies in advance for our fearless host falling asleep not once, but twice during this show. Next week, everything will be back to normal, and we will deliver the double-sized review of Star Wars, the Super Bowl of Wrestling, a.k.a. Fritz Von Erich's retirement show before a huge crowd of empty seats. Sorry about the fuck-up.
Johnny Sorrow, are you fighting that hangover, buddy?
No, I'm not right now. I'm not fighting a hangover right now.
Impressive. I'm impressed, my friend. Impressive.
100% the truth.
And this is, we're looking at world-class championship wrestling, number 27, June 26, 1982. You get Bill Mercer and Jay Saldi, backup tight end to the Dallas Cowboys for years.
Is that who he is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was playing for them at this time.
Was he still playing for them at the time? Okay.
Yeah.
I know, I mean, I think he played with them till like 84 or something like that, 83 maybe.
Yep.
Solid tight end, you know, he was the backup to David Crosby, I want to say it was.
David Crosby, really? was Stills the wide receiver?
Boo.
Come on.
And so this is an interesting pairing. Johnny, what are your thoughts on this pairing?
Jay Saldi strikes me as being like, back in those days when I hadn't seen him before, and then the first time I saw him recently, I thought, I don't know who the fuck Jay Saldi is. I'm not a football fan ever, you know, and so I wouldn't know who this motherfucker is. And so my first thing was like, you know, the first time I laid eyes on Jay Saldi, I thought to myself, who's this guy? And he's tall. He's in a suit. And I think, well, is this like the guy from the Jesus Network that, you know, he's there that we mentioned the last time? But his haircut and his facial hair, this just occurred to me. He looks like an extra from that fucking awful caveman movie with Ringo Starr.
You know, it's funny. WCW tried to do this in 1995 with Mongo McMichael.
Oh, I hated as an Mongo. Announcer.
He was terrible. Well, they didn't learn their lesson from WCW.
I will give you this about this dude. I mean, I'm going to be making fun of his commentary throughout this, but he's better than Mongo.
I don't know. He's not as charismatic, but it's different. He's not as annoying as Mongo either on
the he's a goddamn amateur, and I'll just mention, here's what he does throughout this, okay? Number one, it's we're talking about him. He's obviously a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Because he seems to know a lot of shit. And he drops references that I'm sure Fritz is like, oh, why did you mention that? You know, he mentions like Stan Stasiak at some point.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, that calls my move the Stan Stasiak heart punch. I'm like, oh, he knows wrestling. Good. But here's what he's picked. Like, he's a big dumb jock. And here's the thing. He sounds like a big dumb jock. So even when he's saying something, you know, maybe important or a good point, he still kind of sounds like this, you know, and kind of like Big Moose being smart, you know, and he does this a lot when he has his, he has a lot of good asides. But he does this, and it's a really professional thing, and guys learn to do this. And you can really pick up on it here, is Bill Mercer would say something and make a point. And Saldi would basically say the exact same thing using different words. That's a go-to thing, and he was doing that. Like, Bill Mercer would be like, say – well, Kevin Vaughn, we'll get to this. Well, Brian Adias hasn't been in the business very long, but you know, he, with the help of the Von Erichs, he's on his way. And he'll go, that Brian Adias, you know, he's a young man, but you know, he knows those Von Erichs. He changed stuff. And I was like, oh, I recognize that technique. So, and when he gets excited about stuff, I think he's good. I mean, there's a lot that could be good with this guy, but it's rough going through lots of patches.
Kelly, what are you thinking of this team?
I don't know. Saldi, I mean, yeah, like Johnny said, like, he's clearly a fan of wrestling. I'm assuming this was his first attempt at any kind of announcing. I could be wrong. But well,
Kelly, Pete, do you think maybe that was the deal with like, okay, Fritz, you guaranteed how many people are going to be at Texas Stadium? Well, it wasn't that much. So part of this contract was you got to give my boy here a job.
Well, I'm sure there was.
Well, you know what? Having a current Dallas Cowboy in that area.
Oh, I understand it. I get it. I get it. I think
it's a good business move.
Yeah, it is. It is a Mongo situation. It's a look who we have. He's there because he's a cowboy, not because he's a great color commentator or anything.
You know, I completely underthought that just with my complete. I don't care, give a shit about football, which is dumb when I'm talking about Texas. And that's not an insult. I know how important football is in Texas.
Yeah.
I've seen every episode of King of the Hill.
So have I. Yeah. I mean, he's probably not long for this gig, not to spoil things, but I checked out his Wikipedia page, just to get a sense of who he was.
He's gone by 83-ish, isn't he?
No, I think he's gone by the end of the summer of 82.
Okay, and then, but I think he comes back late, like 80-something.
Maybe, because, yeah, I seem to remember seeing
he just brought everybody back.
When the Freebirds were around, I seem to remember him being there.
Probably partied with the Freebirds.
I could be wrong.
All right. And that leads us into the first match, which is Frank Dusik versus Brian Adias.
Adias.
And yeah.
This is not Adias, but, you know, he used the name after the sneaker company.
Yeah.
And, well, that got him in trouble. And so,
is that what it was?
So he really got in trouble for that? Like, legit?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, dude,
it was on national TV. It was on 700 Club.
I don't know how national that TV was, but, wait, you just answered a million questions I have had my entire life. Because I always thought people were mispronouncing his name and the magazines were misspelling it. Like, how often did you see Ric Flair spelled with a K,
right,
you know, in those days and stuff? I was like, yeah, they get shit wrong all the time. And I was like, Adidas. I didn't know that he had intentionally went by Adidas and got in trouble for that. That's the first I've ever heard of that.
Guys, you got to remember what the market was like at this point in time. Nike wasn't the shoe of choice in the 80s. It was Adidas.
I had Adidas.
Which was the leading company.
Right.
This was before Michael Jordan and Nike exploded.
Yeah.
So Adidas was like the Nikes of the 80s.
Yeah. It's funny that he did was just drop a D.
Yeah.
He was so committed to that name. He had to have it in some way or another.
Well, you know, you think about it, you know, name. I have a Prime Adidas. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it sounds a lot cooler at times being Adidas, but they got a quick cease and desist and, of course, stopped. I mean,
you know, I got to totally throw away my joke about, you know, Frank Nike. You know, it's gone.
But yeah, the whole landscape was just different.
Yeah.
What'd you make of the match, though?
I my first note was it's the debut of Adidas. I remember him from the wrestling mags in the 80s. I mean, I couldn't watch World Class on TV, but by the time I got into the mags, he was a heel in World Class and feuding with Kerry.
All right.
From what I recall.
Yeah, it was basically, Chris Adams thing worked really good. Is this going to work?
Yeah.
Not so much.
Exactly, yeah. In retrospect, I see that was what they were trying to recreate. He'd been around in the territory since 1980, but he vanished in the summer of 81, according to the records, and didn't return until right about now. So
He went to New York City and met a young upcoming rap group called Run DMC and was inspired to go back to Texas with his new name.
Yeah.
That's a shoot where he was friends with the Von Erich family.
Right.
But he did. I remember he worked at television in 84.
Yeah.
In 83, part of 83 and 84 on Crockett Television as a jobber.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. He's been around, I think World Class was the only promotion who ever gave him a push. He might have got a push in Kansas City or something, but
wow, that was saying something. Yeah,
that's about it.
Mm.
I thought this match was terrible.
Boring. Headlock City. Yeah.
Definition of the walk and talk match, you know, when they always talk about it. Well, this is Dusik talking and walking with Brian Adidas, and it was terrible. Johnny, what were you thinking?
Okay. So, basically, here comes David Manning's rival. That's what this is, because, you know, David Manning, what David Manning reminds me of? When you have a group of, like, popular dudes or whatever, and they got their thing going, and, you know, and they could be perfectly fine, you know, you just don't run the same circles, never, but you're cool with them or what have you, or even if you think they're dicks, you just don't bother each other. But they got that one little fucking pipsqueak friend who's, you know, they let hang with them and, you know, kisses all their asses and, you know, feathers his hair down the middle and has a stupid little mustache like David fucking Manning. And, you know, any tail he gets is just side tail from them that they don't want. And he's the loudmouth asshole.
You're describing Parv.
Oh, I would never describe Parv that way. How dare you, sir? Oh, I wouldn't. That's terrible. I have many a joke about Parv, but I would never describe Parv as that guy. You know, okay. Is he really hanging around the Von Erichs? I just think he's like, you know, well, Kerry, I just think that cocaine is a terrible idea. I don't think so. You know, I'm saying, have you all read this new chapter on? So Chris Adams can be Parv. Okay, he's British. We'll do that. Okay. And then he turns on him because he goes to Gary Hart because it was a smart thing to do. You know, and Parr's a smart, smart man. I love how I saved that. Apparently, Captain Frank Dusik is an actual captain. I thought he made it up. I don't know if it was Mercer or Jay who was like, you know, he was an actual captain in the military. He went to the Citadel. I knew that. Went to the Citadel, but this time they said he was in the military. Then I noticed his red, white, and blue tights. And I was like, is somewhat of the version of Sergeant Slaughter, which is this neat? I went to write a joke about it, and then I thought, wait a minute. It's a neat concept because I just watched that Ken Burns documentary about the Vietnam War, all 12 hours of it. It's fantastic. I was like, there's a period, even in wrestling, where the soldier character is a fucking bad guy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not, they're bad guys. You know, that the way the culture was, you had Slaughter. Now I'm thinking, mm-hmm. This, like, and I could, there's been others. Slaughter had his privates and all that shit. And there's probably a few others around there. It wasn't a thing until Reagan got elected, and just in time, Sergeant Slaughter turns, you know, and we have everything in the Hogan rise that wave. But I just thought that was fascinating that obviously he just called himself captain. He normally comes. Did he get discharged like Klinger from wearing the big robe with the fucking unicorn on it? The big robe. In the crowd, there's a family there, and they've got their babies and their toddlers. And then you go back to other shots, and I'm running like, who brings your fucking babies to the wrestling matches? And then there's a shot, it's of the other half of the group, and there's like an 84-year-old woman and a couple of toddlers, and they're all at the matches. And I'm just like, I'm bringing your babies to the sportatorium to watch the fucking wrestle. And I'm like, I want to make a joke, but they looked like they were having a great time. So, who gives a shit?
Man, and all that for Frank Dusik, Brian Adidas, man.
Well, you know, they seem to be like it. What do they know? You know, they don't even have television.
Slaughter brought into the.
They don't even have. Dude,
those poor, that got there.
Those poor people don't even have television or goddamn indoor toilets. So give them this, okay? Look at them.
We got to the next match, which is Magic Dragon versus Raul Castro, man. Kelly, dude, what the hell?
Castro just keeps coming back every month or so. You think you're not going to see him again, but he's back. There was a woman at ringside with a shirt. Speaking of shirts, I was spoiled by the spoiler.
That's sassy. That might be the inspiration for fucking Sapphire down there. That chick just made her way down to Texas. She is an old, sassy African American lady, and she's up getting Hussein, and she's got this giant shirt. She's not wearing a tight T-shirt that says this. It's this giant shirt, and she gets his attention, runs up and unfolds it like a cape. And it says, I was spoiled by the spoiler. And she's like, yeah, baby. And this woman is my favorite wrestling fan I've ever seen, ever. That's the best. I adore this woman.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Squash win for the Dragon. It gets over the sleeper. The leg sleeper is lethal. That's about it.
Johnny?
So they accidentally call him the awesome dragon. I'm like, oh, awesome's a little strong. Let's stick with magic, you know. So our millionaire, Armand Hussein, for this match, is wearing a T-shirt, a very tight white T-shirt with iron-on letters that say H&H Enterprises. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, where does this mega corporation get their shirts made? At the boardwalk? I need 200 of these. And this, every now and then, again, Jay was just getting annoying the shit out of me. He was just talking too fucking much. And Yeah, but then he gets this one. They get into the whole thing about the dragon wears a mask because his family is ashamed of what he's doing for a living. And he's like, he basically says that he agrees with the dragon. He's like, well, being in the great sport of wrestling is nothing for a family to be ashamed about. That's crazy. And basically, I'm like, ah, he is a fan. And the match is over, squash. And Hussein pulls Dragon up and says, he goes to the crowd, you should be proud of me. I stopped him from killing him. I was like, speaking of making it all about you, you know, just a terrible line. So that's all it was.
Yeah. And then that leads us into Kevin Von Erich versus Armand Hussein. I thought it was a fun finish, but what did you make of it, Kelly?
I was hoping that Hussein was done in the ring because he's up there with Shaft and Kenny Mantell, the Candyman, as far as guys I just don't want to see wrestle.
Which is funny because Mantell just got here.
Well, yeah, it was hate at first sight for Ken Mantell and me.
Look out, look out, the Candyman.
Hussein and Shaft have been here since day one, though. There were some stiff shots between the two of them, and the ringside camera captured all this. And some of these matches really had the ringside camera angle quite heavily throughout the match, and I kind of liked that. It was interesting. Laying in some stiff shots, but otherwise this was a nothing match. Bundy interfered at the end, backfired, and that's how Hussein got pinned. So Hussein couldn't even lose cleanly to Kevin, and then they beat down Kevin post match.
Right, and then what you make of it, Johnny?
Well, this is the first I noticed that Mark Lawrence has now got Ranelli's job. And that couldn't have come a moment too soon because Mark Lawrence is a competent ring announcer. You know, he has the cadence and all that shit. So he's fine. Let him do that because Ranelli was terrible. Excuse me. Again, Kevin Von Erich is the goddamn TV workhorse. And now he's out there with a horse that needs to be put down. And they get off this thing on commentary about that Hussein is bringing in the Superfly. I went, what? and they go, who's heavier than Andre the Giant? I went, what? What are you talking about? I've watched World Class. Does this guy ever actually show up?
Well, I was going to say, Pete, I think this is who you confused Tom Schaff being Ray Candy, because I think the Superfly is Ray Candy. I think, just based on some quick research I did on wrestling data. Oh, but Pete's asleep, so he didn't even.
No, I'm not asleep.
Are you sure?
Oh, is that a joke?
I think he was asleep because he didn't react to the Ray Candy revelation. Yeah.
No sleeping.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, thanks. Now the boots, according to Mercer, are African sand boots. And I was like, it's better than Rhino Nose, but African sandwich, just call them pointed boots. That's fine. Bundy comes in, which I was like, great, because I just want to see Kevin Von Erich and King Kong Bundy fight more. You know, fuck Hussein. And then they cut to the crowd, and there is what appears to be a pimp with a very underage girl at his side. And there's a quick glass and quick flash of that. He's like, okay, baby, I'll bring you to the matches. You know, just it's okay.
And Dallas, baby, big city.
Big city, Dallas. And he's like, oh, well, I hear these Von Erichs. That guy is connected to Ken Mantell. That's why he's there. Okay.
look out, look out.
Yeah, that's why he's there, because that chick she looked like Jodie Foster in fucking Taxi Driver, and that guy had a big old hat. And then more chairs at the end. Chairs are going, Fritz is on to something with these chairs. you know, ECW. Every time there's something that people think something was invented in the 90s, you can always keep finding, like, no, it wasn't. Because there's suddenly a lot more chairs involved in this television. And chairs make everything better. So
yep. They really do.
Yeah, you know. And not a lot of guys are getting hit with them, you know, but there's the threat of them and stuff. You know, they're not overdoing it. They even go like, whoa, Bundy got hit with a chair once before and split open his fucking skull. So, you know, he's cool. You know, he's not going back in. And call me a chair mark or whatever. I dig that shit to finish stuff up. So that was good. But again, it's Hussein. He sucks.
Yeah.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com. And we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, and NWA Classics On Demand Adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, and Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, thehistoryofwrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceOfNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And then we get these next two things, next two locations.
Oh, boy.
And wow, this is the first time ever we've seen now. I mean, you know, Bill Mercer made a history of going on locations. If people remember him and Bugsy McGraw going down the water slide, or him and the Jimmy Garvin and interrupting him and Precious, the Freebirds.
The Freebirds one is the best.
The which one?
The Freebirds one is my favorite, where they're like, hey, man, we're partying Fritz Von Erich's pool. What you going to do about that? Woo! And Bill Mercer's is like, oh, well, you know, what can I do? I have a film crew. You know,
I always love the Precious Jimmy Garvin at the door. Like, what are you doing at my door, Bill Mercer?
Oh, that's the best. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
But here's our first one. And he's on a visit. He's going to H&H Enterprises. And he runs into Bugsy McGraw and Armand Hussein, who are having the problems. What's going on here, Johnny?
Well, apparently Bugsy lives in the office, because when he comes in to interrupt, he's wearing his suspenders they're like holding up his pajamas or jeans and his t-shirts underneath. Yeah, he's sleeping one off on the couch at Agent H Enterprise. It's a dive. There's a bookcase behind. They're saying with hardly any books in it to this learned man who's got degrees all over the world. There's like 8 books and a couple of statues of elephants. It stinks. Mercer's great. And this looks like a bad Columbo with the based on the styles and everything. Mercer's Columbo, you know. Hussein's the guy he's about to trick. It's also brown and 70s. And he's talking about the Superfly again. They're bringing it in. And apparently Bugsy is against this idea completely and just stumbles in. Right, you know, if you pay attention to me, I'm not big on this Superfly. And he's like, listen, H&H will take care of you. He's like, Bugsy's sharp. He's like, you're trying to get rid of me. Bugsy, he's sharp and he's paranoid. It might be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's good. Yeah, Superfly is Ray Candy, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I got my confusion.
Yes.
What were you making of this skit, Kelly? Were you happy to finally see one of these pop up on here?
I mean, it's experimentation. Mickey Grant and his production team are trying new things. A little too much acting, you know. It's wrestling.
Okay, acting. Okay, Bugsy. Dude, I just wanted one last thing. Bugsy gets in his acting thing because after his initial confrontation with Hussein, and Hussein starts telling Bugsy that it's all gonna be okay, and he's gonna have a job. Trust him. Bugsy is doing his best Jackie Gleason, you know, in the Honeymooners overstudy. He's like, oh, look at this guy, and like bugging his eyes out, doing the little thumb over here, like, yeah, you say what? Oh, this guy, look at what he's saying. He's a genius.
Yeah.
You know, he was ever called Bugsy McGraw a genius, I think.
I mean, that was his acting go-to move is bug eyes. It's great.
I think Johnny used that maneuver in his play.
I tell you what, I used that maneuver all through that play because that play called for it. And that was the style of that comedy. Here, not so much.
No, I mean, wrestling's a performance, but it's not acting, right? And
this
is acting done by non-professional actors.
Yeah. Bugsy's doing improv. He's doing improv in this. Because you're supposed to just sit there and shut up and let the other guy talk. And Bugsy's like, you said what? Get a load of this guy.
But basically, this is Raw right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is what's happening on Raw.
No, because that's not improvised. That's not improvised. That's
scripted.
That's scripted. That's not. This is improvised.
Yeah, that's true. Improvised.
Maybe they could have used a script.
Yeah, and I think maybe they get to that point where they have something more than just them flying off the seat of their pants or whatever, flying by the seat
of their pants. Right. Well, yeah. then not to be outdone, Jay Salt and I put this in air quotes. He goes to the gym and runs into Kerry Von Erich. Yeah. Johnny, talk about this, man. He's watching Kerry Von Erich and Brian Adidas lifting weights and sweat. And what's going on here, man?
I don't know, but okay. And he okay. So this gym is so gay that I thought in the distance of the shot, I'd see the fabulous ones with towels over their shoulders in their bikinis getting some fruit smoothies after a hard workout because I think it's the same gym. And Jay, I would have thought that did better. Jay is from the neck down covered in a complete tracksuit because he's freaked out of being at this fucking gay gym. And the one thing about his delivery on commentary is he's enthusiastic and he's trying. He is as stilted as a fucking Frankenstein monster here because he's very uncomfortable around all these half naked. He's like, I work out. I wear a T-shirt.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Jay Saldi is stilted and pretty straight and narrow on everything he does on the
show. I know his wrestling commentary didn't sound like this because he's sort of
Kelly,
like.
Kelly, you want to be the tiebreaker?
Harry Von Erich.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It was pretty wooden, yeah, for sure.
Oh, dude. He's wooden everything, right?
Yeah.
Commentator you're talking about, John.
No. Hold on. Go to the people who do the Twitter thing. Go on our fucking Twitter. And tell me that there's not a marked difference in the delivery of Jay on his commentary.
You know, every time Parv did this, trying to prove me wrong, he ended up being wrong on these things.
I'm not Parv.
Don't fall to that Parv trap.
Okay? I'm not Parv. And I'm right here.
Go crazy too.
Oh, I'm absolutely right here. There's a marked difference in his enthusiasm at what he's doing and what this is. This is just, you know, he was good behind the mic, trying to be a wrestling announcer, getting in references and being excited. This, he's a literal robot, and. And then all of a sudden, I just thought the guy next to Carrie was just another random shirtless guy. You know, and no, it's Brian Adidas. And he's like, yeah, here I am too. And I was like, ugh. And apparently, he's already got a belt. Like, the new TV champion. I'm like, well, that was quick.
Which is kind of funny because that's only a Fort Worth thing they do on the other TV show.
Right, yeah.
They never do it in the Sportatorium.
Yeah. He's like, I got my training partner with me. Yes, I am. Oh, what are you? He says, dude, they use this line on him. This line Jay gets off, and here's his staccato delivery. He says, well, Brian, how come so much success so soon? I'm like, oh, Jesus. Well, you know, I owe it all to the Von Erichs. I was like, oh, go fuck yourself. You already have a belt. You know, Bundy did the right thing, you little suck-up piece of shit. Yuck. Yeah. And I'm just baffled that you don't see the difference between Jay. He's not a great announcer, but, you know, he's got enthusiasm. He's trying. This, he seems like it's the last thing he'd want to do in the world.
Well, the other thing that gleamed out of this nugget is Kerry has a title match with Ric Flair coming up on August.
Oh, that too, yeah.
And that's something we will cover because it shows up on the show, on the TV, and it's a hell of a match. Kelly, what'd you make of this skit, man?
Well, yeah, it was weird and kind of creepy. But yeah, that was my main note, is that it's the first mention of the August 15th match coming up, which for fans of... World class. That's one of the top matches of the year, or of the decade, I guess I should say.
Yeah. I don't remember what it finished. I know it finished in the top 10.
Yeah.
I can't remember what number.
It's an awesome match. Best 2 out of 3 falls. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he had the Alfred Neely as the ref that Fritz hates, and when you think about it, it is a great stip. And having the, as they call them, the crooked referee, and that's why they had to get the cage and their own ref that ends up blowing up in their face.
Yeah.
And that leads us into a Kabuki. I want to ask you guys real quick. Of these two skits, which one did you like better? Kelly, which one did you like better?
Oh, God. Well, not much to really like about either. It's a work in progress. Well, it's bad stuff here, Johnny.
No, it's bad stuff, but there's a clear worst of these two. I wasn't going to say best. See, I didn't say best of these two. There's a worst of these two.
Yeah.
And it's the one with Jay just... Brian Adidas. At least
I thought that was so bad it was good.
No, I thought Bugsy Waking up after a fucking night full of drinking nothing but Night Train and rolling up, and no wonder he gets fired from H&H. He won't leave the office. He's showing up fucked up, passed out, waking up in his fucking his Fred Sanford goddamn suspenders. There's some entertainment value there. That was just the other one was just
they're both all right. Bad,
but... And Mercer was good.
Kelly.
Yes.
We get the Great Kabuki versus Sal Oliveras. Do you like the match or what's going on here?
By this point,
did you do a history about the career of Sal Oliveras?
We've actually seen Oliveras before, so I know I mentioned or I did a bit of his life story. I don't think there was much to it.
I should have known.
Yeah, well, by this point, this show had been pretty disappointing. a step down from previous weeks. We had some really good TV, and we enjoyed it. This week has been kind of shitty. Oliveras, he's one of the most hairy men I've ever seen. And apparently he's a big contender for some Mexican title, yes. but he's squashed like a bug here, so it doesn't put over the strength of the Mexican wrestling.
They actually say, Jay says, because they're talking about, and I don't know if these are real people, Pete, I'm sure you do. He's like, well, he's really chasing some guy. And they mention that, and he gets squashed, and Jay goes, well, you know, maybe we better focus on chasing that guy because this ain't working out.
Yeah, well, he mentions, I think, El Solitario, who was a top star at the time in Mexico, as far as I know.
Was he really pursuing him, or is that?
I think it's total bullshit. I don't think Oliveras wrestled south of the border. I don't know.
He just randomly picked a Mexican guy.
So the bullshit that they could get away with back in those days was, you know, you could say anything. Nobody knew. No one was checking.
Some Mexican smart mark at the time going, fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you.
So just another squash match.
Which leads us right into...
Oh, hold on.
Oh, Johnny's got some thoughts.
Hold on. No, not many. Because they go, this is going to be interesting. It's the Oriental style versus the Mexican style. Really? Is it?
At last they meet in the ring.
Is it really? Getting aside what the annoying Oriental thing, but I understand of the day. Is this really indicative of the Oriental style and the Mexican style? Because I've seen a lot of great Japanese wrestlers and Mexican wrestlers of this day. I don't think this is that indicative of their styles. This sucks. He describes fucking Sal as very handsome, very capable. And I'm like, I'm like, hairy? He goes, he's a very young man. I'm like, hairy. This is the Stan Stasiak heart punch line that made my old school WWF ears perk up. And that's that. This is, to your point about the TV, this is of the day watching that TV. I mean, you know, great shit every week. You know, you can't do it every week. So you'd go be like, wow, I can't believe that was on TV. This week sucks. Just the way it is.
Well, that leads us into the main event, which I think we've seen before.
Oh, really?
Not
you
this
think?
One, not this match, but this match no. up.
Ugh, of course we have.
And we get the two most probably consistent two-star wrestlers on the planet in Wild Bill and Al Madrill. Kelly, take it from there.
Yes.
Well, they top two stars.
Yes.
This should have been for the Texas two-star belt.
I think that's what the Texas title is.
It's kind of is what it is.
Two-star match.
It is the two-star belt. That's genius.
So leave it to good old Al to save the show with a two-star match, and it was a two-star match. That's what I gave it. Chauncey Chance are rocking the Sportatorium in this one. Like the walls are rattling. There was great heat. I mean, Al always brings the heat with him. The fans love
Alberto.
Alberto. Alberto.
He's no longer just Al. He's Alberto.
Well, and then the thing about Madrill, and we talk about his heat, it's because his timing is really so well. I mean, that's the one thing he does really good is his timing on comebacks and throwing a punch.
Yep.
But yeah, it all boils down to timing. Yeah, he doesn't have all like, he's not like this five-tool worker.
No.
But what he does well.
Textbook, babyface comebacks, all that. He does most things well. He cuts a good promo, too. So what happens in this one? Oh, yeah, Al basically beats Bill's ass around ringside, and then we get the fluke finish. This was a typical finish from the 70s and early 80s where two guys charge at each other and bump heads, and the one guy lands on top of the other, and he's unconscious, but he gets the pin because he just landed on top of the guy. So, you know, Al wins. This was a non-title match. Which, so presumably Al's going to get a title shot now at the two-star belt. And it's rightfully his. He is the king of the two-star match, so he's got to get that strap back. It's his belt. So, yeah, two stars.
Cool. What about you, Johnny?
Well, I do like what the Alberto thing is. What they did is they made sure they announced him as Alberto Madrill, because that sounds cool. And... because Al Madrill does not sound cool. Alberto Madrill sounds cool. And, you know, Al. You know, I have a friend named Al. I love him. But, you know, when I hear Al, you know, Al Snow always sounded stupid to me, you know. And, but, so that, but, and then Mercer made sure just to pepper in enough Albertos. So then if you call him Al, your ears adjust to it. Like, well, you know, it's quick dialogue. You know, he's Al. That's fine. You know, that's a nice little touch. And Chauncey, yuck. And then that finish. Who booked this fucking finish? Yes, it's classic finish of the basically the noggin knocker, what have you. Guy falls down unconscious, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's a great finish for a heel. That's not how the good guy should win the fucking match. That's what the fuck is that? And then go. That puts me in line for a title shot. I'm like, that's not how you do a good guy. That's how you do a bad guy. And that's not what he's not turning heel yet. So
that's fucking stupid.
That's stupid as fuck. And Bill Irwin knows that's stupid because then he runs in, he kind of tackles Al and they hold each other for a second and then they have a big fight. The big fight, and finally, you know, he beats the shit out of Bill Irwin, who goes flying out of the ring and hightails it. Because Bill Irwin, you know, he's like, because the crowd was like, what the fuck was that? And Bill Irwin's saying, he's like, we got to get your heat back, brother. You know, and they did. And then, no, that's about, you know, he comes down and he's like, you know, I deserve this and I deserve that. But the finish still kind of stunk. And then Mercer goes, I agree, Albert. I'm like, boom, he's, you know, cutting down the middle there. You know, you're not committing to Alberto or Al. You just called him Albert on television. But yeah, Al's great. I like Al Madrill. And he's the king of the two-star matches. But to your point, that's sort of what the Texas belt is, and that's with this lineup of talent. He's the Intercontinental Champion, you know. He's the best one of them.
Pete, you awake, brother?
Yeah, what's up?
Your thoughts on Irwin versus Al?
Oh, yeah. I was just...
Yeah, you've been listening to Johnny Sorrow, the human Valium.
Yeah, I know, man. You know, I thought it was a good meat and potatoes match. Good, solid bout. These guys, I mean, they have a decent chemistry with them, one another. It just was what it was. I mean, it wasn't anything dynamic or anything like that. But it was the two-star match, and... It's kind of what we predicted going into it. So there we go. I guess anything you guys want to talk about? Any plugs?
No.
No. Just wishing everyone a happy anniversary of the Statute of Westminster on December 11th, which in 1931 granted Canada its full independence from the United Kingdom in regards to their international affairs.
On that note, man, we'll have a great weekend and keep on supporting the wrestling. And WorldCast Wednesdays is where it's at. Catch you later.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance all night long. I could waltz across Texas with you. Waltz across Texas with you in my arms. Waltz across Texas with you. Like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.